Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the bottom of Daf Chof Amud Beis, at the beginning of the new perek, the third perek of Nedarim. The Mishnah introduces different types of vows that do not need to be rescinded. In other words, the vow is meaningless as far as a vow is concerned, and hence one is not bound from the outset. And as a result, we say that it's a vow that doesn't need to be rescinded by a she'elas chacham, by seeking the absolution of the vow through consultation with a Torah scholar. The Mishnah itself, in addition to introducing these four different categories, it will focus on what's called Nidrei Ziruzin. As far as the explanation of these four different categories, the Mishnayos themselves, as the perek progresses, will offer explanation. So it's not immediate importance, of any degree of urgency, in order to explain these terms. So now the mission: Arba Nedarim Hitiru Chachamim. There are four categories of vows that the Chachamim say you don't have to. You're not bound, and you don't need to consult a chacham for its absolution. Nidrei Ziruzin, Nidrei Havai. You can see we've indicated Chof Dalar Mebeis. That's where the Mishnayos themselves will explain what Nidrei Havai is. Nidrei Shgogois, to be explained on Daf Chof Hei Omid Beis, and Vinidrei Oinsen, to be explained on Daf Chof Zayin Omid Aleph. And after stating the four categories, this Mishnah focuses on the first, Nidrei Ziruzin Ketzad. What do we mean by Nidrei Ziruzin? Again, we're avoiding translating the word Ziruzin, because it's best understood by simply seeing the example. What is meant by Nidrei Ziruzin? Hayomocher Chefetz. A person was interested in selling an article, the Omar, and he said, Koinam. Koinam is a term that we've seen very often in the past. It's an expression referring to a vow. He vows that the money that he gets for this object will be forbidden to him. She'eni poches loch min hasela. If I reduce the purchase price any less than 4 dinarim, a sela is a coin, and it's also it contains 4 dinarim, another denomination, a quarter the size of a selah. So he says that I'm willing to sell you this item, but I'm not going to sell it to you for any less than 4 dinar. And the vow is in effect saying that any money less than 4 dinar that I get for this object will be forbidden to me from any benefit. V'halo omer, the buyer, who's not interested in paying a lot of money, he says, Koinim she'eni moisif loch al hashekel. A shekel is 2 dinar. So he is announcing with a vow that I will not benefit from this article if I buy it, if I have to pay any more than 2 dinar. So the seller is saying, I want 4. The buyer is saying, I'm willing to pay 2. The Mishnah continues at the top of Chof Aleph. Shnehem roitzim b'shloisha dinarim. Both are really interested in paying 3 dinar. The Ran at the top of the page. Shnehem roitzim b'shloisha dinarim. Shamoicho yadaitu l'shloisha. The seller initially had in mind 3. The seller just through what he was saying was trying to get to urge the buyer to relinquish his original stated position of two, and that she asked him lishlosh, she should agree to three. And that's why the seller spoke the way he did. His reference to four was really with the intention of getting three for it. Likewise, the buyer, he intended to pay three. And he had no intention in his vowing other than to urge the seller to agree to that amount. And not to remain intransigent regarding four dinar. And it's because of this that the nether doesn't get off the ground. The time of the milsa, the reason for it is, this is normal commercial behavior. It's normal for sellers and buyers to deal thusly. And that's why it's not called matters that are in one's heart. Now this is a concept that appears all elsewhere. We say often dvarim shebelev, thoughts that you are thinking, einam dvarim. Once again, dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim. Things that you are merely thinking that you don't articulate, that you don't utter, they are of no consequence. In this case, we don't say that this, the dealing here between the two people is in the category of dvarim shebelev, merely internal thoughts, because this is the way people always do business. So therefore, as we see here, there is no vow because there was never any real intention on the mocher to expect the four and for the seller to pay a mere two. The Gemara. Arba nidorim hetiru chachamim v'chulei. The Mishnah said there are four categories of vows that don't need to be rescinded or to be absolved. In other words, there's no vow to begin with. Omar lei Rabbi Abba bar Momo le Rabbi Ami. On the side, by the way, we have a topic heading. And in this piece of Gemara, we'll see Shnei Deos. That's why you already saw a number one. A few lines later, Rava appears with a number two. There's a Shnei Deos in Mishnah Senu, Rak Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Tarfon. Is our Mishnah authored only by Rebbe Tarfon? Or maybe our Mishnah can be resolved even according to the opinion of the Rabbonon. Of course, we haven't said what Rebbe Tarfon and the Rabbonon argue about, so now we'll see in the Gemara. So Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Ami, Amris lon mishmei Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, you have said to us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Man Tana Arba Nidorim, who is the Tanaic authority responsible for our Mishnah of the four categories of Nidorim? Rabbi Yehuda Hi, the Omar Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. It is Rabbi Yehuda and his opinion, or his quote of Rabbi Tarfon. That says what? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rabbi Tarfon? Li'oilu Meinechonem Nozir, in a case where there are two people standing, and they see someone coming from the distance. And one says, I'll be a Nazir if that guy coming from the distance is a Nazir. And the other fellow says, well, I'll be a Nazir if the guy coming from this distance is not a Nazir. So at the time they accepted the Nazirite-ship, they were not on sure footing, because they made their nether dependent on some outside source, on some outside cause. So at the time they stated the nether, it wasn't a nether stated with assuredness. As a result of that, Rabbi Tarfon holds that there is no Nazirus. Nazirus is a Nazirite-ship, is a form of vows. It's a subcategory of vows, so what we're saying here applies to all vows. And why is that the case? Lefi sheloi nitno Nazirus elol haflo. Because Nazirus, acceptance of Nazirus, is done, as the Ran explains, only when it's done without conditions. The term haflaw you find in general when you look at the Mefarshim, it means very clear, certain speech. A vow that is made but dependent on some external conditions, so it's not a statement made with certainty. It's a statement that's dependent on something else. So it's not in the category of haflah. Now the word haflah is really based on the Torah pasuk, ish ki yafli lindor neder l'Hashem. Yafli has to do with clear, certain speech. And and that being the case, so our Mishnah represents vows that are taken that are not categorized as haflah, as clear, certain speech. If we look at the Ran, you could see in the middle of the page, more or less, the Ran says l'fisha lo nitno nazirus el haflah v'adin l'nedorim, and likewise with regard to vows, the iskish l'nazirus that are compared to nazirus, the lo chayel elim ken yikaba b'lo t'nai. It doesn't take hold unless one accepts it without any conditions. Hilkoch moichir v'lokeach shetolu nidrom b'tnai. The mocher and the lokeach, the seller and the buyer that made their vow dependent on something conditional, afapi she'ovru al tanoim, even though they violate their condition, lo chayli nidrayo, their neder does not take hold. In other words, they in the way we in the way the Mishnah presented the mocher, says, I will not benefit from the money if, and notice there, if it is sold for any less than 4 dinar. So his vow was what? Not to benefit from the item. But the vow itself was stated in a conditional form. And therefore, as the Ran explains it, the vow does not get off the ground. And once again, that's all according to Rabbi Tarfon. The Rabbanon would disagree. However, we continue in the Gemara, Rava Omar, Afilu Temo Rabbanon. Even if you you can even set up our Mishnah in accordance with the Rabbanan. Now, the Rabbanan disagreed with the case of the Nazirus. That is, that even though the Nazirus was stated conditionally, when the condition is met, so the person whose condition was met will become a Nazir. However, in our Mishnah, even the Rabbanan will agree that there is no vow. Mikotoni Shnehem Rotsu, does the language of the Mishnah state that both wanted? That's not what it says. Rather, Shnehem Roitzim Kotoni. The language of the Mishnah is in the present constant form. Shnehem Rotsu, both want Kotoni. That's what is stated. Let us look at the Ran explanation on what Rava is saying. Rava Omar, Afilu Temer Abonon, Mi Kotoni Shnehem Rotsu. Does the Mishnah say it in that form of speech? Klomar, the Masnisen, the Nidre Ziruzin, the Mishnah that said that Nidre Ziruzin are not Nidorim, they are not binding. Lav Mishum Haflohi. It's not because of that consideration that they lack the certainty of speech. Elo mishum shesomu chachomim daitom. Rather, it's because the chachomim noticed or they analyzed shelo nodru bedafka elo lazares. The neder was not with the intent of imposing on themselves any restriction. From the outset, it was rather to urge on Lazares, to urge on the other party. The Mikotoni Rotsu, does it say in the Mishnah, Sherotsu Shihei Mashmauso, Sherotsu Libasof, which would imply that at the end of the deal, at the end of the time frame, they acquiesced to 3. Doesn't say that. Shneim Rotsim Kotoni. The mashma michilo v'yatsof, the expression of the Mishnah is they both want, which indicates from beginning, from the very outset, they were interested in the sale of three, of receiving three and paying three, respectively. So that the original netter that was formulated around the numbers four on the part of the seller and two on the part of the buyer, those numbers were basically irrelevant. So that the vow that they said concerning surrounding those numbers was never meant seriously, as we say, from the very outset. So the as far as Rava is concerned, the language of the Mishnah shows us that the Mishnah can conform to all Tanaic authorities, and not as was suggested before in the number one approach, that it would be limited to Rebbe Tarfon. As you can see, there's a slash mark, which indicates that we continue now with a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, Hanoidrim Tfei Misela. We have a buyer and seller like we had before, and the buyer would be vowing, I am not going to benefit if I get any less than an amount that's more than a sella. And Vasheni Omer Pochos Mishekel, and the buyer says, I won't benefit from the item if I have to pay an amount that would be anything other than less than a shekel. In other words, if I pay an amount less than a shekel, then fine and good. Haim neder havi, does this constitute a real vow? Oy ziruzin havi, or is this another example of ziruzin? So we turn to the Gemara. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. Omar lo tfei misela. The seller says that I won't benefit. He takes the vow, and that he won't benefit from the money received if it's going to be an amount that's any amount that is not more than a sella. Now, according to this, if he were to get a sella, that's not enough. He has to get an amount more than a sella. Valo Omer, and the buyer says, Botzer Mishekel, that I'm not going to benefit from the item if the amount that I pay is going to be any amount that is a shekel or more. In other words, only if I end up paying less than a shekel, then I'll be able to benefit from it. But if I'm going to pay an amount greater than less than a shekel, then I won't benefit. Though the question then is, Nidra Havi or Yziruzin Havi? Is that an actual neder? Or is it also an example of Ziruzin? We glance at the Rosh commentary that you'll find on the lower part of the page, the first of the widest lines of the Rosh. Amar Lei Tfei Misela, Amar Lei Ihu Botzir Mishekel. Pirush, O Amar Lei Ihu. The case that the Gemara is asking about, according to the Rosh, is either this one says Tfei Misela, or the Mocher says, the buyer says, the Kone says, less than a shekel. Rak Shia Beinehem Yoiser Mishekel. The point is that the gap between the price of the buyer and the seller is going to be more than a shekel or two dinar. Mi Amrinon, do we say Masnisen Davka Kotoni, B'shein Beinehem Elo Chatzi Sela, B'mekach Hashav Shlosha Dinrim? Is the Mishnah being very literal in its example, where the gap between the buyer and the seller is two dinar in an item that eventually is sold for three dinar? Oidarkom lidor kedei lezares avol kishen muflogin zemize yoiser oz ein darkom lezares. Do we say then when the gap is more than two dinar, then it's no longer a function of zeros, but rather they are really serious about their vow? Oh, Dilma Lav Dafka, or maybe the Mishnah's example is not literally a gap of two dinar, but in general, people will speak thusly, will make these non-vows in order to urge the other party on to changing their stated price. The Gemara answers this by citing a Tanaic source featuring a different topic, but it has to do with the way people speak. Omar Leh, Tanino, so Rav Ashi says, you can see an answer to your question from the following Tanaic source. Hoyimasarev b'chavero sheyochal etzlo. Notice, by the way, that this is all part of a long answer. You have a case of two parties, two friends. Mr. A is imploring upon Mr. B, was pressuring Mr. B to join him for a meal. The Omar Lo, and Mr. B responds, Koinem beischo shani nichnas tipas soining shani toying. He takes a vow, and he says that your house is forbidden unto me for entrance. In other words, I vow not to enter, and I won't even drink a drop of a cold beverage. So, under those circumstances, the person was being pressured into visiting and to have a meal, and the respondent says, I'm not even put step one foot into your house, and I'm not even eat one drop of, or drink one drop of beverage. The result of this is, mutar likones lebeso, velechol kimo, velishtois heimenu, tipas tsonein, it is allowed for Mr. B, to enter the house and eat a little bit, and to drink a little drop of cold beverage. When he vowed, I'm not going to enter your house whatsoever, and I'm not going to eat even a drink even a drop, his intent was for a full blown, I swear not to eat a full meal and have a full drink. Vamai, why do we say that he is allowed to enter? V'hotipas tzonein komar. Did he not say that he swears not to benefit even from a single drop? Helamishtoi inish hachi. Rather, that's the way people speak when they want to say that they want to forswear benefiting from a whole meal and a whole series of drinks. They speak that way, even saying even a drop. But that's not what their intention is. Hachanami, so too, when a person says tfei misela or pachos mishekel, mishtoi inish hachi, it's also an example of ziruzin. It's not to be taken literally, and it's not therefore stated with any real vow intent. So at this point then, we see Rav Ashi's response to Ravina's question. However, Ravina has a comeback. Omar Leh. Notice, this is a question that lasts a number of lines, and it essentially we end off in a question form, the issue being unresolved. Ravina says back, Mi domi. How can you compare the case of the guest being invited for a meal to the case of a commercial transaction? Gabitzonein, Tzadikim oimri ma'at v'isim harbi. When it comes to Tzonein is the case of the fellow being invited over for the meal. The way of the righteous is to speak little and do a lot. Now, what does that mean for us? We look at the Rashi at the top. Mi domi gabi tzonein tzadikim oimri ma'at v'isim harbe v'zeh shoye mesar b'chaver shiochel etzlo kimo v'yishte tipa tzonein. The inviter, Mr. A, who is pressuring the fellow to come over to have a little bite and a little drink, vaday lachilushtiam rubukomar. When he was pressuring the fellow, his friend, to come over, he had really intended for him to come over for a big meal and a big drink. Ki kein darkon shel tzadikim lomar ma'ad lasas harbe. That's the way of people, righteous people, to say little, offer a little, and then when it comes to action, actually present a lot. And when the guest, Mr. B, said back, I swear I'm not going to have even a drop of drink, that drop that you are offering to me, That's what I'm not going to eat. Dainu achila meruba. You're offering, in reality, a large meal. And I'm forswearing the large meal. Velonis gavin lepitipa sene mama. She didn't have intent to forswear benefiting even from a little drop. Hilkoch, einu osur bachilu shtiyam, or rather, hilkoch, osur bachilu shtiyam meruba umutu lishtois heimenu tipas tsoinein. What the vow really covers is a large meal and a lot of drinks, but not a little taste or a little drop of beverage. That's as far as the meal case is concerned, and that's why although the vow was stated in terms of even a morsel I won't eat, he is in effect allowed to eat it, because that was never the intent of the original vow. Aval hocha de dilma haydomar tfei misela daite al pochos misela litain bishlosha dinrim vaydomar botzer daite al yoyser mishekel litain shlosha dinrim. Rashi continues, Vizirusin have, and that in effect would also be, like we saw before, Zirusin umutter, and there would be no neder. Dilma dafka komar vinitra have, or maybe he is being very specific. And because the speakers here have added the detail, namely pochos misela, or Yisrael al shekel. In other words, very simply put, it's not similar to the case of the person being invited. Whereas there was no there's no room to think that it's an actual vow. In this case, in the commercial transaction, there is room to think that it's an actual vow. And that's why the Gemara ends off by saying tiboi. Just we'll read the Gemara again from the second line from the top. Hacha sveikahu. Here, in the case of the commercial transaction, there's an element of doubt. Dilma pochos misela v'yosra shekel komar v'ziruzin havi. Maybe this too is an example of ziruzin. O dilma davka komar. Or maybe they are being quite literal. V'nidra havi. And it would constitute a real vow. Tiboi. This remains unresolved. So as far as Ravina is concerned, he raised the question. Ravashi attempted to answer it, but Ravina is not satisfied with the answer. As you can see, a slash mark appears indicating the following is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a mivne. A diamond is featured under the mivne. The mivne is the structural note, and the diamond highlights shnei lishonos bedivrei Rav Yehuda. There are two versions as far as what Rav Yehuda says. Now the Gemara. Actually, before we do the Gemara itself, maybe we should take a look at the topic heading. Deos Boinon Signon. These are opinions regarding, we'll say, style. Eich Achochem Poseach or Matir Haneder. How does a Chochem absolve one from a vow? Al yidei charota is the expression of regret enough. Charota greda. Shanoder mischoret achshov shenoda. The speaker, the vower, regrets right now. He doesn't have any retroactive second thoughts, but rather from right now he regrets the situation he is in. Oy the pesach. Another form of absolution is called Pesach. Shanoider, Masbir Shmei Kor Lohoya Noider Ilu Hoyo Dea Kach Vekach, where the vower explains that had he known such and such, he wouldn't have taken the vow at the very outset. In general terms, we can say that the Charota method of absolution is much simpler. All that needs to be accomplished is that the speaker, the vower, says, oh, I right now regret my having taken the vow. I emphasize on the right now. I now regret. The Pesach method is more difficult. You have to analyze the sage together with the client that's coming for absolution. They together have to analyze, would the vower have made the vow had had he thought things out carefully from the outset. And that we call Pesach. As we go through the Gemara, we want to encourage each one to look into the commentaries to what kind of action is, or what kind of absolution is being accepted at any given point in the Gemara. And this topic will keep us involved, certainly till the end of today's shiur. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi, Arba Medor Malot, Srichim Shelo Lechacham. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav Asi, and he says that these four nedarim, these four categories of vows, require absolution through the intervention of a Torah sage. Now Rav Yehuda continues telling his story. He says, "Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel Omar, when I said this over to Shmuel, namely that which Rav Asi said, that these four categories need scholarly consultation, Omar." So Shmuel said, Tana Tani, the Tana says, Arba Nedarim Hitiru Chachomim. These four categories of vows, the rabbis allowed, meaning they're not vows from the very outset. They don't even begin. V'ad Amar Tzrichim Shelo L'Chacham, and you say in Ravasi's name that they need to be consulted with by a Torah sage. Rav Yosef Masni Law Lahoshmaitzo Bahai Lishna. Rav Yosef presents the above discussion in the following version. Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav Asi, Ein Chocham Rashoi Lahatir, Elo Ke'ein Arbo Nedorim Halolo. A Chocham cannot undo a vow unless it resembles the four categories of vows in the Mishnah. So what does that mean in practical terms? That a chacham is restricted in how he can absolve vows to vows that resemble the four categories of the Mishnah. Now here, we're not saying that the four categories of the Mishnah themselves require scholarly consultation, but rather, in general, vowel absolution cannot be done unless they resemble the four categories of the Mishnah. Kosovar, Rav Asi is of the opinion, Ein Poischin Becharoto, that it's not enough for a person to come and say that I right now regret having made the vow. But rather, as we indicated before, more discussion and analysis between the Chacham and the client is required. We take a look at the Ran, and he makes a presentation that is very, very basic and important in this area of Pesach versus Charoto. So now we look at the Ran on the upper part of the narrow lines. Ein chocham matir lekein arbo nedorim halalu. Klomar, this is to say, shein lo lahatir b'charoto elo b'pesach. The sage is not to absolve through mere statement of regret on the part of the client, but rather he has to, Pesach means literally open up matters and look deeply into it. Shaneder kishu nitar b'pesach, when a vow is absolved through the Pesach method, mochiach mitocho shu neder tos, it proves within itself, we demonstrate that the vow was a mistake from its outset. V'havei ke'ein arbo nedorim. It's in this sense like the four nedorim, the four categories of nedorim of the Mishnah, which we explained aren't real vows from the very outset. Avo b'charoto lo, but absolution through mere expression of regret, that's not enough. V'hainu taimo the Odiv Pesach Mecharoto, and it's for the following reason that Pesach is beneficial, more beneficial, is better, is more desirable than Charoto. Lefisha Kol Neder Shehu Nitar BePesach, any vow that's rescinded or absolved through Pesach, Harei Hanodir Oimer Shafilu B'Tchila Keshenodar Ilu hoya noisein el liboy oisei Pesach. The vower is saying that even from the very outset, had I paid attention to this particular matter that they reveal, the client with the sage reveal in their discussion, he says, lo hoya, no dare, I wouldn't have vowed, v'nimsa nidra b'tosin, by saying that we're demonstrating that the vow is essentially, it was mistaken at the outset. So by doing that, we're saying there really was no vow to begin with. If you say there's no vow to begin with, so we understand that the client is totally in the clear. Aval nedershu nitar b'charota, a vow that would be undone through expression of regret, eino motse im atzmo shum inyan, shiluhoya noisne libo mitchilo shiluhoya noder. He's not revealing anything that had he been more attentive, then he wouldn't have avowed at the outset. Elishu Omer Achshav, all that he's saying is that right now, he's saying right now, Mitoch HaKas O Mehirus Nodarti V'Achshav Ani Mischarid Al Shenodarti Me'olam. He's saying that when I made the vow, I was in a state of wrath, or I was hasty, and it's because of that I made the vow, and right now I regret having done that. So with that we gain an insight into the difference between Pesach and Charota, and Pesach, the Pesach method is a more, we'll say, more assured, reliable, complete form of absolution, because as we said, it demonstrates that at the very outset the nether would not have been taken. In the case of Charota, look, at the beginning, the man was enraged, and because of his rage, he released some emotional feelings through the vow. So it had some value to him at that point, but just now he regrets it. As you can see, there is a fundamental difference between the two. The Rashi. Dibor Masu Elokein Nedarim Halalu. Rashi says, "Vahani hu desharu mishum delesbu mamish." The four categories of the Mishnah are non-vows because there is no substance to them whatsoever. Aval shar Nedarim lo, but other Nedarim not so. Shein Adam Rashi lahatir Achi is chorid hanodir meatzmo. Other kinds of vows, a person cannot release himself from them until he expresses some type of regret. Rashi continues, Kosovar ein poischin becharoto, shein chacham rashoi liftoch v'lomalo nadarta daita dahochi. A chacham, according to Rashi, says, would you have made the neder with this in mind? Dahochi, kidamrino lekamon, elo hanoder hu yischore tchila. V'yiftach v'yoyimalo lo ladas kein nadarti v'u poseach tchila b'charota. Rashi's approach, it seems to me, is different than the Ran's approach, and that according to Rashi, the sage is instructed, do not initiate do not prompt the client by saying, would you have made the nether knowing this and this, but rather the client himself has to come forth and say, I regret having made the nether. So that approach is clearly different than the Ran's approach, where Rashi is placing the emphasis on the sage, that the sage shouldn't be the one to open, to start, to prompt the client. As you see, we have new geometric forms that require a little introduction. We glance at the side under the Mivneh heading. The triangle and double underline are featured. Hahu da'osa l'kameh. You see that we have a series of cases where the word hahu is put in a triangle, and you skim down the page, you can see quite a few of them. And in continuing the series marking, we have a double underline under the expression to osala kame. So and so came in front of, and you'll see clients coming in front of different rabbis for absolution. And we've written Sidra Shel Maisim Shebo Noidrim Lifnei Rabbonim Lahatir Nidrim, a series of incidents where vowers came in front of rabbis for absolution of vows. Heora Yesh Losim Lev. Heora means we want you to note that one should pay attention. Be'ezet Surah Chocha Matir Es Haneder. Which path or which style is the Chacham using in absolving the vow? Becharota, pshuta, and simple regret. Oh, al yedei Pesach. Now, as far as our Gemara markings shir is concerned, we want to recommend that in order to look at each case and analyze what is really the method being used, to look into the commentaries. What we're going to be doing is presenting the Gemara at on a translation level. And the reason for that is that when you look in the commentaries, you sometimes find that the term that one commentary will refer to as Pesach, the other will refer to as Charota, and it could become a bit confusing. So we're going to go through the Gemara, and we might from time to time make reference to one of the Mefarshim, but we're emphasizing that we're not revealing the entire story. That requires further analysis. The Gemara. Hahudas lekameh de Rav Huna, a person who had a vow and wanted it absolved, came to Rav Huna Amarlei, and Rav Huna asked the fellow, Libcho Alecho? Now, here we'll look at Rashi. Amarlei, Libcho Alech, Klomar, Omeid Atal Das, Harishona Shiritzoncho, Adayin Bosaneder. Do you still want that vow? Well, in the Gemara we see the fellow says, Amalei lo, no, I don't, I regret it. Visharya, and Rav Huna absolved him. So, following the Rashi approach that we saw before, Rav Huna was poseach becharota. He prompted the fellow to express his regret. The Gemara continues, Hahu de also lekame de rabo ba Rav Huna. Amalei. And Rabba says to the fellow, "Ilu hoyu asora b'nei adam shi'efaisucha ba'oisushah." If there were 10 people that could have assuaged your say angry emotions, yefaisucha means appeased you. Had there been 10 people that could have appeased you when you made the vow, me Nadris, would you have made the vow? Amar lei lo. He says, no, had there been 10 people at the time, I would not have made the vow. Vehitiro, and Rabbo absolved him of the vow. Well, you see from this, according to Rashi, that for the person to simply express, I right now regret the vow, that wouldn't have been enough. Rather, he had to analyze and look at the situation from the outset. Had at the outset circumstances been different, would you have still made the vow? And he says, no, I wouldn't. And based on that, Rabbo Rav Huna absolved him. And Rashi, at the end of Dibur Masel, Omar Lei Lav, says, Avol bi'almo ein poisun b'charota, but in general, a simple expression of regret would not be enough. So right here, you see two different approaches to vow absolution, these two stories, the Rav Huna approach and the Rabbo Bar Rav Huna approach. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya, Rav Yehuda Oimer, Omrim lo le'odom, Leiv ze alecha, a chocham, can turn to the client and say, is this... Leiv ze alecha literally is this heart upon you? We saw this expression, a similar expression before, libcha alecha, which meant, are you still feeling the same way you did at the beginning? Imam arlav, if he says, no, right now I don't feel the way I did it, I regret it right now. Matirin oso. So we absolve him of it. That was the charota approach. That's poskin b'charota that we saw before according to Rashi. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel quotes Rabbi Yossi, Omrim lo le'adam. A sage would say to the client, Ilu hoyu asor b'nei adam shifaisuch b'yisusha. If there had been 10 people to appease you when you were angry at that time when you made the vow, me, not just would you have made the vow? Im omar lav, if he would say, no, I wouldn't have made the vow had that been the case at the beginning, matirin oso, we absolve him of the vow. So now, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, he, as you can see, holds ein poischin b'charata, as we saw before in the case with Rabba Bar Avuna, that we don't prompt the client by simply suggesting that if he regrets right now, that would be enough. Hahut also kamei the Rebbe Asi. In the parentheses that the printer has, we have names of rabbis that are coming up: Rav Asi, Elozer, Yoichanan, and Yanai. So the first involves a story involving Rav Asi. Amale, Rav Asi asks the client, Kedu Tohis. Rashi explains, do you regret? Are you mitsta'er? Do you feel bad right now? Amale, lo? What, you don't think I feel bad? Visharya. And he absolved him of the vow. We're able to learn this Gemara, in addition to the Ran, who pointed out that the Omar Lei Lo is to be read with a Tmiha tone. The Gemara continues, Hahud Osala Kameh de Rabbi Elazar. Omar Lei, the Rabbi Elazar asks, Bois Nodur? Rashi says on this phrase, Kibalta Neder Mirtzoncha, did you willingly accept this vow? The Ran on this says, Bois Nodur, Roitzata Arashov Benidrucha, do you want till this moment the Neder? Eloshemikan Ve'elchatom Ischare, V'im Kain, Ein Luchoheter, according to the Ran, that if you are someone that is simply regretting from this point onwards the vow, but you're not regretting it from the very outset, so that's not enough for the vow to be rescinded. So now, that's what Rabbi Elazar was asking the client. Omarle, we continue in the Gemara. The client responds, Ilu lo margizini lo bo'inon klum. Had they not made me angry, had they not made me angry, I wouldn't have required any vow. I wouldn't have sought out any vow. Omar le, so Rabbi Elazar says, Tehei kibois, so be it as you will. In other words, since you did not accept the vow willingly at the outset, so you are absolved. Be it as you really wanted. Again, this is an additional opinion holding that charota, expression of regret from this point on, is not enough. We continue in the Gemara. Ahi itso de atriso lebarta. There was a woman that imposed a vow on her daughter. So that you have a woman saying to her daughter that I vow that you shall have no benefit from me. Also the kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. The woman comes to Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Law. Rabbi Yochanan says to the mother, Ilu havu yadis de amron megirasayich alo de bartoch, that your megirasayich, that your neighbors, upon hearing the story of your vow, that your neighbors would say about your daughter, we continue at the top of Daf Chof Beis, Ilu lo chamis bo imo milin daziva bichdi lo adresa, mi adresa, what would the neighbors say? So the top line of Chof Beis, you can see a lot of Aramaic, meaning, had the mother, that's you, had that mother not seen in her daughter some type of reprehensible, immoral behavior, Would the mother have vowed for nothing? So, in the eyes of the neighbors, the vow that you took is because your daughter must be guilty of some type of immoral behavior. So that the neighbors are saying, basically, your daughter is immoral. Would you have vowed, knowing that that would be the result? Me, Ashrusa, would you have imposed the vow? Omrole, lo. No, I wouldn't have imposed the vow. Visharia, and he absolved her. That's Rabbi Yochanan absolved her of the vow. So you see again an example of the Rav analyzing the circumstances of the vow from the very roots. It could be, according to the Rashi commentary, that from this story we really aren't going to conclude as far as the method of absolution. Be that as it may, this story of Rabbi Yochanan, if you want to use it to reach conclusions about methods of absolution, you have to look into additional commentaries beyond that which we've said in our shir. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.